And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. I am here with you. I am healthy. I am sane, in spite of the hysteria that seems to have gripped our country, and I hope you are too. I hope you enjoyed the weekend, had a wonderful time with family and friends. I hope you got to go to church, although I know many churches close their doors. Some live stream, some just skip services. My church had worship services on Sunday. I'm not making a judgment about any pastor who chose not to do that. Each has to do as your conscience dictates, because all of us have to stand before God on our own. But we had our worship services yesterday, and it was a busy weekend for me, as my weekends often are. But, you know, I have to tell you that the more I watch the news, the more I listen to the so-called medical experts talking about the coronavirus, and the more I listen to politicians pontificating about it, the more frustrated I felt myself becoming. And I thought, you know, I got to stop watching this stuff because there's something wrong here. And here's the conclusion that I came to. I had this epiphany this morning that the medical community and the political experts, for the most part, except for the president of the United States and the people working around him for the most part, are telling us this. They're saying, in effect now, they haven't said this explicitly. Don't get me wrong. They haven't said this explicitly. But here's what they're communicating as the underlying message. That everybody in America's got the coronavirus, and everybody's going to die. Now you say, well, now, Bishop Jackson, that's a little bit extreme. They're not communicating that, folks. Stop and think about how they're dealing with this. Just stop and think about it for a moment. Our governor here in Virginia just declared they are banning gatherings of more than 50 people. They are banning gatherings of more than 50 people. I think New York has banned gatherings of more than 100 people, although they're leaving the bars and the restaurants open. At least that's my understanding. But churches are certainly included in this ban of gatherings. Churches were not exempted. And if anything, you would think they'd be saying, oh, please keep the churches open. Keep people praying. That's what we need more than anything else. But no, it's as if the whole country has it, and the whole country is going to die. I mean, that's the way they're talking. And let me give you two examples of things that I heard this morning that just, I thought, what in the world? What's wrong with these people? This woman who Fox is using right now, and I'll mention her specifically, because I'm sure she's a very nice, well-meaning young lady. She's a doctor, Dr. Nicole Safier. Well, she and Dr. Oz were on Fox and Friends this morning. They were asked the question. They were actually getting email questions in. And one of the questions was from a grandmother and grandfather. And they said, look, we take care of our, I think it was, might have been three grandchildren, two or three. We take care of our grandchildren. We're healthy. We have not been exposed in any way. They're in their 70s. We're healthy. We haven't been exposed anyway. We're doing fine. We take care of our grandchildren during the day. And they, as far as we know, they have not been exposed in any way to this virus, and they're perfectly healthy. And, you know, any reason why we should not continue to interact with our grandchildren? And here's how they answered. You got to stop that. You got to stop that. Yep, you can't take care of your grandchildren anymore. I'm saying, what? Oh yeah, no, you gotta bring an end to that. Gotta halt that. No, don't take it. You're talking about two grandparents and two or three grandchildren, and they can't take care of them because of the coronavirus? Or shall we call it the Chinese Wuhan virus? Yeah. Well, let's Let's by all means practice a little political incorrectness here for the sake of facts and truth, shall we? And I thought, what? And then they got an email from another person saying, look, you know, we're having a fairly intimate family wedding and we're expecting 150 people to come. We know them all. And, you know, we've been in touch with everybody and everybody is doing fine. Nobody's been exposed to the virus. You think it's okay for us to go on with the wedding? No, cancel that. Yeah, you got to cancel that. You don't have the wedding. You can go ahead and get married, but don't have a ceremony like that. And it hit me. So what they're really saying is everybody's got it, and in effect, everybody can die from it. So I am tooling this around in my head thinking, why would they be communicating that kind of message? No wonder people are having fights in Costco and the store shelves are empty and the economy is suffering, because we are communicating these dire circumstances that, in my view, are not in keeping with reality. I mean, I think we need to get a little perspective on this. And so this is my suspicion, that this is what they're really communicating. And then, folks, Dr. Nicole Saphir actually said it. Later in the day, I had Fox News on, just sort of monitoring the situation. Later in the day, she was asked a question about, you know, social interactions and so forth and sizes of groups. And here is what she said. In fact, I didn't have a chance to get the clip. I don't know whether it would have been available anyway, but I will probably share this with you tomorrow, because here's what she said, confirming my suspicion. She said, everybody ought to act like you have it, pretend that you have it, and that everybody you know has it. She actually came out and said it. I said, ah, that's exactly what I suspected. That's how they want people to behave. We've all got it. And we're all going to die from it. And then, look, the data shows that about 80% of the cases, 80% are mild symptoms, in which the person basically won't even know that they've got the virus. Okay? 80%. And she says, well, I know that, but, you know, people can still, young people can die from it. Anybody can die from it. Well, but that's not medically verifiable based upon the scientific data we have so far. I mean, I suppose, you know, you can die of a splinter in your hand if it gets infected and the infection gets in your bloodstream, sure. But you're not likely to die from a splinter. And for most people, this is going to be the equivalent of a splinter in the finger. For most people. And she said, oh, but anybody can die from it. So I thought, these people are trying to stir up hysteria. They're trying to keep people on edge. And folks, there is something about this. I'm going to give you a little perspective, probably get to that in the next break. But I want to hear what you all are thinking. Look, I am not a reckless person, and I'm not a person. I believe that every one of us, each of us, is a steward of the health and well-being that God has given us, and that each of us, if we are healthy and we've been blessed to be born healthy, we've got a responsibility to take care of ourselves. So I am not a reckless person who thinks, oh, who cares? Who cares what they say? But folks, I'm a rational person, and I think I recognize hysteria and irrationality when I see it. So let's talk about that when we come back, and then I'll start taking your calls.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
In a recent commentary, I mentioned that many radio listeners object to the fact that Social Security is considered an entitlement. After all, they argue, they paid into Social Security and Medicare. Now they are receiving a partial refund of money they paid into the system. And while that is true for some people, it is not true for many others. Let's look at the numbers. A credible analysis was done a few years ago by the Urban Institute. Their researchers figured out what people turning 65 in various years have already paid into the system. And then they calculated what they can expect to take out after they reach age 65. And of course, the actual numbers will vary based upon family income, marital status, and longevity. In most cases, retiring Americans will receive much more from Social Security and Medicare than they put into the system. Whenever I mention this on radio, callers are shocked to hear that and often don't believe it. Here are some of the numbers from the Urban Institute. A two-earner couple receiving an average wage would have paid $722,000 into Social Security and Medicare. They could be expected to take out $966,000 in benefits. In other words, they would be paid about one-third more in benefits than they paid in taxes. A one-income earner couple earning an average wage will pay about $361,000 into Social Security and Medicare and receive about $840,000 in benefits. That's almost 2.5 times more in benefits than they paid in taxes. The conclusion is clear. In most cases, Americans who retire will receive more from Social Security and Medicare combined than they put into the system. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Ryan Fisher here, back today behind the Focal Point microphone, tanned, rested, and ready, locked and loaded. The world is in a panic over the coronavirus. Is the panic justified? We'll discuss the facts as members of the science-based community and talk about how we, as the men and women of God, should respond. That and more next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, I can see that you all are really interested in talking about this subject because the lines have already begun to light up. So I'm going to get to your calls quickly. The number is 888-589-8840. Here again, just a little perspective, folks. Just a little perspective. Do you know that we have 100 to 110 deaths daily in automobile accidents? Daily. Last year, 38,800 people died in automobile accidents. We have cardiovascular disease killing 800,000 people a year. Now, when the swine flu hit in 2009, while Obama was president, I don't remember all of this hysteria, do you? Folks, there were 1.4 billion cases of swine flu. 1.4 billion, and 575,000 people lost their lives as a result of the swine flu. We had 61 million cases of swine flu in America. 61 million. That's 20% of the population. And 12,469 Americans died of the swine flu in 2009, while Barack Obama was president. Now, the swine flu was lethal for a lot of people. But I don't remember this. Do you? Do you remember the hysteria? Do you remember the closing down of everything? Do you remember people being told that you can't assemble in more groups of more than 50? And do you remember that? I don't. And let me say one last thing, and then I want to hear from you all. You know, I said it sets a dangerous precedent for the government to be telling churches that you have to close your doors. But let me take that a step further. I think it sets a dangerous precedent for the government to be telling people how to live your lives and using this as an excuse for doing so. Because, you know, they've been circulating these rumors, they meaning whoever's behind this. But I got a text from one of my staff members, actually a voicemail from one of my staff members telling me that the voicemail sent to them said, everything is going to close down. That's why everybody's got to buy up everything. That's why, you got to go out there. You got to stock up. You got to hoard. That's why people are bum rushing the stores, because this stuff is circulating. But instead of these public pundits, prognosticators calming people down, they're stoking the hysteria. I mean, one woman came on this morning. Here again, some of you may have caught this. She was on a cruise, and her husband has had two kidney transplants, and he's taking immunosuppressant drugs, which means his immune system is weakened so that his body doesn't reject his two new kidneys. He has the coronavirus. His wife said no symptoms, none. This man has been deathly ill. The coronavirus didn't really affect him. And then they found out that she had it too. And she said, nothing changed. She said, I worked out every day. I did everything I normally do, and I didn't feel a thing. She said, I had no fever. I had nothing. Now, instead of they're saying, well, you know, that we always have to keep in perspective that this is not a disease that's going to kill people for the most part. I mean, it's just not. It's just something we want to take control of, because we don't want our healthcare system flooded with people trying to get treatment for this. And we want to manage this properly. But they didn't. You know what they said? Well, that just goes to show you could be a carrier and you don't even know you have it and you're infecting other people. And this is terrible. They didn't say, oh, well, that's great. Because, you know, a lot of people, right, won't feel any symptoms. And so it's not something that we should be deathly afraid of, obviously. I mean, we want to control it. We want to manage it. We want to stop the spread of it. But nobody should be sitting around trembling, thinking I'm going to die. But they didn't go there. They went, oh, you were a carrier all the time, and nobody knew it, and you were infecting people. So a little perspective here, I think, is in order. Based on the problems that we deal with in this country on a daily basis, and we don't even give a second thought to it, and all of a sudden now, the government's got authority to shut everything and everybody down because it's in our best healthcare interests. Well, you know, I'm going to a meeting tomorrow night, and we're expecting a lot of people there, well over what the governor said is the limit. So my question is, so if he set a limit of 50 in some places, 100 in others, so if you get to 101 people, what's going to happen? You're going to get arrested? I mean, I'm just wondering, are they going to send the cops in to round everybody up? I mean, obviously, that would be absurd. So what's the point? See, here again, folks, you know, all we need to be saying is, look, folks, if you have any reason whatsoever to think that you've been exposed to it, then self-quarantine and get the test. But other than that, go about your life as normal, okay? Wash your hands. And sure, people don't want to shake hands because they're, you know, you never know who's got it and all that. And I understand that. I mean, I've shaken hands with people, but that's me. I've got faith in God. And I'm just not going to have this hysterical reaction. And I would hope, look, if I'd gotten exposed to it, then I would tell people, I'm not going out. I got exposed to this thing. I got to get tested. And I'm not going to be going out until I get tested and I find out I don't have it, because I don't want to run the risk of spreading it to other people. And I think most Americans would take that responsibility upon themselves, that we don't need the heavy hand of government telling you, don't go to church, don't go to a meeting. You know, we're having these rallies on May 1st, and right now we're thinking that there'll be a lot of these state governments that, of course, I think the thing will be over by then. Frankly, the hysteria will be over. I trust it will. But a lot of these states, for example, in Virginia, we think they're going to try to use that as an excuse to shut down the rally because they don't like what the rally stands for, because the rally is against socialism and communism, and they're all a bunch of socialists and communists anyway, ideologically speaking. They're not card-carrying members of the Communist Party, but I'll tell you what, they're heart-carrying members of communist doctrine. And I think they'd love to shut us down. And this is the perfect excuse. As Rahm Emanuel said, never let a good crisis go to waste. Okay, let's try to get to your calls, because I want to hear what you all have to say about this and what's going on in your own areas. Let's go to Mary in Texas. Mary, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy listening to your show. Right now, the word coercing is what our government is doing to people, and listening to them shutting down sports events, restaurants, churches, conferences. Well, one group that they haven't shut down, and I have not heard one word in the news, are the huge population of homeless people on the streets of the big cities. Now, you tell me if that isn't a group of people who would really spread a virus like they think. And Sunday when we went to church, one question was asked of each individual, do we know one person with this virus? Not one person said anyone they knew in the vicinity of their group of people had the virus. And the VA lady who worked at the VA, she said only one guy came in and he tested negative. And I believe that when I think of borders being closed, you know, businesses, my son this past week when he arrived Friday at work, he was on a contract. They paid them to leave. They paid them money to close the job down.
Wow.
And I thought, wow. And I was wondering if there is more. It's not the coronavirus, but I was wondering if the world governments are preparing for something major than...
Well, Mary, listen, thank you for the call. And you've just pointed out, I say, I'm not a medical professional, but I can read and I can count. And the number of people infected in a country of 329.5 million is frankly so infinitesimal that the likelihood is of you coming into contact with one of those people is virtually nil. And yet we're being, as one, as this doctor, I think, which who expressed the attitude of many of these governments, everybody's got it. You ought to pretend you have it. Well, why would I pretend I have something like that? And why would I treat others as if they have it when the likelihood of anybody having it around me is virtually zilch. It's zero. So I don't know about governments preparing for anything, Mary, but I know one thing. There is an inclination and a predisposition on the part of leftists to use excessive government power. And I think we're seeing a lot of that here in our own country right now. And we had better be on the alert against it. Let's see. You know what? I'm going to have to wait. I'm going to come right back to the calls in a second. But let me just say this before we go to the calls. This is the other thing that needs to be pointed out here again. I'm not, like some of you said, I'm not a conspiratorial thinker. I don't see people conspiring under my bed and all of that. But just because, as they say, even paranoids have enemies. So just because we're not conspiratorial thinkers doesn't mean that there aren't conspiracies that happen. And one has to wonder, you know, this is not the first such virus that's come from China. Other than rejecting God, what is the Chinese government doing over there? You have to wonder, right? Oh, you, Bishop Jackson, EWU can't say that. That's racist. No, that's factual. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
The 13-year-old youngster was on his way home to a small, modest farmhouse in Kansas. but he skinned his knee in a briar patch. It wasn't much to fuss about, just a small scratch. He went on home and went about his chores without mentioning it to his parents. The next day he noticed that his ankle was swelling a little and that his leg was a little sore, but he still didn't mention it as he went about his farm duties. The next morning, the leg was in bad shape, and when his parents came in from town that afternoon, they immediately sent for the doctor. After the doctor had examined the leg and saw the danger, he muttered to the parents that there wasn't much chance to save the leg. The youngster didn't quite understand what the doctor meant, so he asked him. And the doctor said there was a very strong possibility that they would have to amputate the leg. "No, you won't," cried out the boy. "You won't cut off my leg. I would rather die." Well, the doctor looked at the boy and became kind of irritated with his attitude. He stepped outside the door and was talking with the parents when the boy's voice called out, Ed, come here." The older brother, hearing the cries of the boy, went past the doctor and the parents into the room. They listened as the boys talked. "Ed, if I go out of my head and lose my senses, don't you let them do it. Don't let them cut off my leg while I'm unconscious. Promise me, Ed. You've got to give me your word." Well, the doctor didn't hear much more of the conversation because he began talking to the parents again. "That's just about like a bunch of foo boys," he said. Shortly after that, Ed came out of the room. He stood in the door, legs spread apart and arms folded. The message was clear. The leg would not come off. The doctor tried to talk to the parents, but they told the doctor they would look at the leg again that night. They did look at the leg again, and it was worse. The boy's fever went up, and the doctor told them that if he didn't amputate, there was a strong possibility the boy would die. But Ed stood his ground, staying in the door around the clock. He'd given his word. The family, realizing Ed's determination, began to pray for the boy's leg to heal. The family were devout Christians. Mother and father, then Ed, and finally the other four brothers all took turns praying. Throughout the night, there was someone praying. When morning came and the doctor looked at the leg, he saw a sign that the leg was beginning to heal. The swelling was going down. Well, in a few days, the leg was completely healed, and the young farm boy was back at his chores and hobbies. Years later, when Dwight David Eisenhower was elected President of the United States, a reporter remarked to his mother that she must be mighty proud of her son. With Ed in mind, her reply was, "Which one?" Simple faith is sometimes stronger than medical science.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, 61 million cases of the swine flu during the Obama administration, and I don't remember not one hint that the world's on fire, we're all going to die, it's all over. None of that. It was pretty much business as usual. And suddenly, with 3,700, not 61 million, now we don't know where this will be by the time it's all over, but still, in the 2 months since China announced this thing, the 2 months since then, and that means that it existed in China before that. That means that people came from China into the country before we were aware of it. That means people came from Europe into the country before we were aware of it. So that means the thing has been in our country for at least four, maybe 5 months. At least 4 months, maybe five. Well, three months. Say 3 months. Probably been here. If it started, the first case, and by the way, the guy who apparently tested positive in the first case is now dead. How did that happen, I wonder? He didn't die from the virus either. November is when the first case is said to have been discovered. So 4 months. Let's call it 4 months. And 3,700 cases. The swine flu, 61 million cases in a year. 61 million cases. And we're already a third of the way toward a year, and 3,700. And yet, you would think the whole world is about to come to an end. And these pundits and prognosticators would have us all believe that and act accordingly. And some of these governments, particularly these leftists, are acting like everything's got to come to a stop. Everybody. I mean, can you imagine telling grandparents, oh, no, you can't take care of your grandchildren. Oh, my goodness. No, don't do that. Whew, folks, I tell you. 888-589-8840 is the number. Okay, let's go to Bruce in Oklahoma. Bruce, welcome.
Hello, Bishop. Thank you for taking my call. I just wondered one thing. Are you sure you haven't already recovered from the coronavirus?
Right.
And also, right? I called my senators today and asked them if they wouldn't look into filing charges against the news media that's causing all this hysteria and negatively affecting 320 Americans. These people need to be shut down. Have you ever heard the saying, run out of town on a rail? What's wrong with Americans letting these people do this to us, Bishop?
Yeah, look, you are absolutely right, Bruce. I mean, I think, and you know, I said it sets a dangerous precedent to tell churches they have to close down. I'm realizing now there's a much more dangerous precedent even than that, which is turn control of your life over to us, and we will dictate to you what you can and cannot do. I mean, that is taking it to a whole higher level order of magnitude in terms of really creeping totalitarianism. Frankly, that's in fact, you know, somebody mentioned to me today, you know what this feels like? Somebody said, when I hear a governor tell people you can't assemble in groups of more than 50 people under any circumstances, that feels like martial law. And we've also got some curfews. Some communities apparently have been given curfews. Well, what does that have to do with anything? I heard Governor Cuomo say, nobody can go to the gym after 8 o'clock. Well, what's that got to do with anything? I mean, well, how does going to the gym at 8:05 somehow put you at greater risk than going to the gym at 6 o'clock? But I think this, as often is the case with governments, it's about control of people. But thanks for the call, Bruce. Yeah, who knows? I could have already had it and recovered from it, because apparently that's going to be the case for a lot of people who have absolutely no symptoms. Let's go to John in Missouri. John, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Bishop?
Great, John. How are you?
All right. You know, I agree with you 100%, and I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist myself, but I'm leaning towards the left is trying to tank the economy to hurt Trump, and I guess they're not realizing what they probably are, but America's not really realizing the effect of all this, how it trickles down, because Illinois has closed, you know, their bars unless you serve food, but they can only come and pick it up. Well, I work for the beer companies, and my distributor told me today, out in Illinois, that they're probably going to stop shipments because they can't sell it. So, and they might have to start laying off drivers.
Yeah, look, I don't have any doubt that, and this is a sad commentary too, isn't it, John and folks, that the left would rather see Americans suffer, hurt, jobs lost, income lost, economy tanked, as long as it gets them their way. And what that means is, as long as they can defeat President Trump, A, and B, get complete control over the government so they can continue the fundamental transformation of America, that's all that matters. And folks, this is why I keep coming back to Marxism, because, you know, Marx's attitude was, and what communism posits is, none of that matters. I mean, people are just pawns in the on the road to the utopia that we have to create. And so if a few of them have to die, if a few, they have to suffer, that's no big deal. Whereas here in America, we believe in the importance, the sacred nature of every individual, that every individual matters. And with the left, it's, well, the masses this and the masses that, because they don't see people as individuals. They see them as groups, demographics to manipulate in their quest for power. So, yeah, folks, we need to keep praying, but we also need to take a stand. I said, I'm going to an event tomorrow night at the Stonebridge School, sponsored by the Tea Party and some other folks, and I'm going to be there. In fact, that's it. My schedule was a little bit dicey. I said, but just to make a statement, I'm going. Because no governor is going to tell me, well, you can't assemble with more than 50 people. You can't assemble with more than 100 people. What are you going to do, arrest me? I have no doubt that they'd love to do that. Let's go to Wayne in Mississippi. Wayne, welcome.
Yes, sir, Bishop. I can't agree with you more, brother. We had church. We had the full handshake. Oh, man, I agree exactly with you, brother. You bless my heart hearing that. But a lot of them didn't have church, but we had church. We worshiped the Lord, sing praises to his name, and the preacher brought the message. And, you know, if God took care of the children of Israel, yes, sir, with Pharaoh, you know, the plagues, yes, sir, and the plagues came upon them, but Pharaoh and his army, you know, brother, yes, sir, exactly right. And he'll take care of you. I like what you said, us as believers. And I'm going to share this with you right quick. When church was over yesterday, we got to hear a pastor that supported a preacher that was in China. Yes, sir. Just before this, they said, broke out at, you know, and underground with Christians. But the government over there had invited them to come out. Yes, sir. They wanted them, the Christians, brothers, to take and help those who have the coronavirus. Yes, sir. And they would give us Bible tracts and the public. Jesus Christ.
Amen. You're breaking up a little bit on us, Wayne, but I think we got the gist of what you were saying. But look, folks, Jesus really is the answer. There's no question about that. And call me crazy, which is what the left does all the time. That crazy preacher. And I take that as a badge of honor that they would call me crazy, because frankly, they'd probably call Jesus crazy. And many people we know did. But you know what? I believe the coronavirus is not too hard for God. That God can heal anything. And he's not sitting on the throne intimidated. Oh, wow, what is this? I can't believe it. How are we going to deal with this? You know, the coronavirus is a name, but it's beneath the name of Jesus Christ. He is the creator of all things. And that he's not the creator of death and hell. Well, let's put it this way. He's not the one who instituted death and hell. That was brought about by Adam's union with the devil. But God is the giver of life. Back in a moment.
I've spent much of the last 3 years coming back to life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Michelle Couchette reflecting on her journey of battling cancer of the tongue on Focus on the Family Minute.
But my packaging is flawed. I'm scarred all over my body. I no longer talk with the clarity that I once spoke with on podcasts and on tours and speaking engagements. Things don't work quite the same as they did before physically, and that's hard. However, who I am is absolutely intact. Who I am has not been compromised in the least. What I thought would be my devastation has instead become, quite frankly, my salvation.
Your difficult times can lead to better things and a stronger relationship with God. More from Michelle at FamilyMinute.org.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
That changed my life, just from that ultrasound picture.
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Oh, and folks, let's not forget this. Trish Regan has been put on hiatus from Fox because she dared to suggest that the coronavirus scare, the hysteria, was the mainstream media in league with the Democrat Party in trying to destroy President Trump and his achievements, and that this was just another way to impeach the president. And for that, her show is on hiatus. And so, you know what that tells me? It tells me, A, what she says is true, and B, she obviously struck a nerve, because they don't want to hear that. But if you compare the response to this virus to the response to the swine flu under Obama, and it is as different as night and day. Because, of course, folks, why would you worry about the swine flu when you've got the Messiah as president, right? Yeah, exactly. And the mainstream media worshipped him like he was a Messiah. And so he could do no wrong. And it didn't matter how incompetent, how lacking he was in passion for the country and for the needs of our people. I said President Barack Obama had three major priorities: promote homosexuality, transgenderism, promote climate change, and defend Islam. Those were his things. That's what he was about. And America, America is dismissive and derisive, and America is not a place, you know, that, you know, America needs to be more like someplace else. So Trish Regan on hiatus as a result of telling the truth. Sad commentary. Very sad commentary. Okay. Kimberly from North Carolina, you've been very patient. Kimberly, you are on.
Okay, thank you.
Go right ahead. Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, sir. My opinion with all of this crazy stuff that the media is typing out is that this is nothing more than global terrorism. It's to incite fear in everyone, and that's what terrorism is. Mm-hmm. And now they're just doing it worldwide, scaring everybody, and it's unnecessary. And we as Christians don't have to worry about it. And we shouldn't worry about it. We should keep going on and helping folks the way that we're supposed to, loving folks, joining together and praying, because it's not going to touch us.
Amen.
Something that has been brought in by Satan himself. And the more I think about it, I think Al-Qaeda and ISIS, because you're not hearing anything about them now. They're just sitting back, giggling themselves silly.
Yep, enjoying every minute of it. Yep, you're right.
Now know exactly how to instill fear in us if we let them. So we just all need to get back to God the way we were supposed to be all along and stop buying into these things and turn the cotton picking television off.
Okay, Kimberly, we're going to end it on that note. Listen, thank you so much for the call. And you know, it's interesting, Kimberly, and for all of you, it is interesting. I've noticed you cannot do on television what we're doing right now. You cannot question anything. You cannot say, well, now, whoa, wait a minute. Let's back up here. Let's calm down a second. I mean, nobody said when that woman said, I tested positive, but my life never changed. I worked out. I did everything I've always done. I had no idea I had this thing, but they told me I had it, and I tested positive. I went on about my business. And then they say, oh, that just goes to show how bad this is, because it means that you can be a carrier and nobody knows you're carrying it. And nobody said, let's get the other side of this too. What it means is, even if you end up testing positive, you should not see it as some kind of death sentence or debilitating disease. Nobody said that. Nobody said that. And I think basically the word is going out. No, we're selling panic. We're selling fear. And we're going to have eyeballs on the television. And just keep pumping that out there. Don't ratchet back at all. And so you don't hear anybody who's on television kind of ratcheting back and trying to say, well, now wait a minute, folks, let's back up. Let's not hurt people in the supermarket. You know, let's not feel like we got to buy up all the toilet paper in the world, or we're all going to die. If we heard some of that, I could at least say, well, you know, you do hear some balance. I'm not hearing any balance at all. And Kimberly raised another good point. What do our enemies think when they see this? See, I think we always, as a country, need to communicate the message. We are strong. We are people of faith. We are people of courage. We don't fold up and wilt with the challenge. We'll deal with it. But we'll deal with it respecting the fact that we are, unlike communist China, a free people, a free nation, and individuals take personal responsibility for their lives. And we don't need the government trying to control everything and everybody, every day, every moment, in order for us to address some challenge. We address those challenges as individuals, as families, and we deal with what we need to deal with based upon information and education and people making their own decisions. And we know there are always idiots in any population who will do stupid things, but the overwhelming number of the American people will always try to do what is right for themselves and in respect for their neighbors. And you don't hear any of that being said by the pundits. Okay, let's see, I want to get those of you who have been waiting a long time here. Thank you for your patience. John in Missouri. John, welcome.
Yeah, there's a book out. It's called The Cure is in Your Cupboard. The Cure is in Your Cupboard. It talks about oil of wild oregano. This oil of wild oregano goes into your body and it snuffs out all the viruses. I mean, almost all the viruses. It'll snuff out germs. It'll snuff out fungus. It says something really, something. Wow, we need to take a look at it. The book is called The Cure is in Your Cupboard.
Oil of wild oregano. Well, thank you, John. I've never heard of oil of wild oregano, but okay, that sounds fairly harmless. I'm not endorsing it. That's what John suggests. And you all can take that for what it's worth. Thanks for the call, John. Let's go to, I think that's Letty in Texas. Letty, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Wonderful show. Wonderful show.
Thank
you. The reason I'm calling today, I am kind of mad. I'm very mad. I wish you would just come through and be like Christ-like and pull out that whip and just shut down the government and start getting rid of all them jokers that are up there in Washington. You know, they've got term limits for a president, but they don't have them for themselves. Them people have done nothing but line their pockets and steal from the Americans, the American public. And they think we're all a bunch of dummies. You know, they're still getting surveys trying to figure out, you know, if they can get Trump out. They better wake up. He didn't bring it on. There's nothing even going on. They're just, oh, they're terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, declare martial law, close it off, and let's do it.
Well, okay, Letty. I wouldn't go quite that far. We don't want to declare martial law because I think that's exactly what puts too much power in the hands of government. But I understand your sentiment, Letty. I think that's why President Trump got elected, folks. I think President Trump got elected because he was not politically correct. He was not willing to play the game. He was not willing to say only the things that people thought a politician should say or that the politicians think a politician should say. He broke the mold. And I think that's precisely what got him elected. And you're right. I think we need more leaders like that who are thinking first and foremost about the interests of the American people, not about whether you offend the mainstream media or whether politicians like what you're saying and all of that, but just doing what is best for the American people. I think that's the key. And thank God we have a president who believes that. Let's go to Dale in Mississippi. Dale, welcome.
Thank God we have a president who believes
that. Dale, you got to turn your radio down there.
Dale, welcome.
Hi, Dale. Dale, are you there?
Hi, Dale.
Okay. Let's go to Lenny in Texas. Lenny, welcome.
Yes, sir. Hi. How y'all doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thanks. And my ministry, I show people about God, that God's got the answer to health and healing. So this is the perfect time to really, God can really shine when we start utilizing his tools to build our immune system.
Amen.
I worked at a juice bar where I saw wheatgrass knock out terminal cancer time and time again. So
wow.
Wheatgrass,
huh?
God's food, I don't sell anything on my website, but I won't say it until, you know, I need to run it by y'all first, but long story short, God's food and herbs heal. His essential oils, you know, prayer and essential oils. There's a reason why essential oils are mentioned all through the Bible. They're in.
Okay, Lenny, we got your point. Natural cures, nature, the things that God has already put on the earth. Always a good idea to eat healthy, exercise. Do those fundamental things. Learn as much as you can about good nutrition. Always a good idea. But of course, we know that the ultimate healing is in faith in Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate. Not to hear again, I said earlier, I am a safety conscious person. I also believe that we are stewards of our own health and well-being, that each of us, first and foremost, has to answer to God for how we treat our own bodies. But this hysteria is something entirely different, which, by the way, folks, is counter to good health because it produces all kinds of problems in the physical well-being of a person. So the last thing we need to do is be fearful and anxious. What we need to do is be at peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and remember that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.